just want to invite our audience, you who is listening to the audio and you watching the video, maybe you want to join Locke Kelly and myself in the silence before we open the space for words. Just take a moment to really feel your physical body. To feel your breath coming and going. And maybe there are some feelings or emotions. And maybe some thoughts. And just become present with your awareness here and now. And if you like, you can also expand your awareness into the space around, into the room or the car, or when you're outside, just invite what's around you. And feel yourself part in a huge field of consciousness. We are joining here together with our interest in awakening, in sustained awakening, in deepening understanding and getting really what we are in a multidimensional beingness. Just be aware that we are many of us joining this field, not just only in the summit. It's really part of what we are going through as a whole humanity. And Locke Kelly, I really want to warmly welcome you to the Conscious Evolution Summit.
Thank you so much. So wonderful to be here with you and with everyone who's with all of us. Yeah.
Where are you right now, Locke?
Right now I'm in New York City. So right in the middle of the place where you have to learn how to meditate in the midst of motion and action and activity.
Yeah, and we jump right into the topic. So tell us a bit, what is your experience? What kind of inner attitude or practice supports you in that?
Yes, so the main practice that I do is what I call small glimpses many times during the day. So I often sit in the morning, although most of the time I actually begin the day with my alarm clock going off or waking up and then hit the snooze alarm. And instead of going back to sleep, I roll over on my back and I do a glimpse practice. So I'll explain a little bit more of what that is, but it's a type of direct meditation that isn't really a meditation state, but is a shift into a different operating system, an awake, awareness-based way of perceiving and an embodied, energetic field of interconnectedness So I'll roll over and do these series of short movements of unhooking my awareness, dropping, opening to space, allowing the energetic space to interconnect. So I've dropped from head to heart, heart-mind, and then feel like that I'm interconnected with everything, and then just get up from bed in this transition to an awakened consciousness. So I start to move slowly and integrate a living from awakeness, and make that transition from deep sleep and dream state to awake consciousness. Whereas normally, I think, you know, the mind starts going right away and recreates a pattern or a normal habit of identity and functioning with some worry or concerns or planning. So addressing that either in a morning meditation or, you know, I invite people to try this transition even before you get up from bed. So that's how I start. But the main thing is almost fine-tuning through these small glimpses during the day. So starting to get a feeling of when I contract or am looking or feeling from a part of myself, which is worried or judging or anxious or feeling hurt, and feel that as a real new center of identity, and then acknowledge it and learn how to unhook or step back. And then instead of making it go away or treating it like it's bad, start to listen to it and love it. Love the part that was triggered. So this is kind of an unusual transitional way of doing a glimpse practice, but it's including right from the beginning and then noticing there's some space and some energy toward the part, asking it what is it need. And, you know, usually it's, doesn't have to be verbal, or sometimes it's a dialogue, sometimes it's just a relationship as you get to know this, these parts of yourself. And then opening to more space, opening awareness into its most vast dimension, letting awareness be aware of itself. And then as awareness is aware of itself, in a way that it's kind of unplugged from the whole system of conditioning for what I feel is like 3 seconds to 3 minutes is about all it takes. Once you get a feel for it, you don't need to stay in that transcendental state for too long. It's really to recognize and realize the vastness. And then as that awareness, it becomes the ground of who I am, and it immediately has energy. So if I am aware from this spacious awareness back to things that are like clouds and birds, I've actually gone back into a meditation state. And so many people in a non-dual practice will kind of go back and feel like, oh, I'm the vast awareness, and thoughts and feelings are moving and they're leaving and coming and going. But the feeling for me is if remain as awareness, it's immediately awareness energy. Immediately awareness interconnection. Any relationship to anything or movement or thought or emotion is no longer separate from the dynamic. So it's a more almost embodied, interconnected, juicy, loving feeling of non-duality, as both ultimate and relative reality are now dancing together rather than being in a transcendent witness consciousness. So that's, I think I jumped right in into the very, very, you know, simple but advanced way of describing this practice, which you know, can be learned and understood and felt mostly by people. Yeah.
And how or what enables you to make this shift? What you when you started, yeah. where you are kind of first, you are aware of your thoughts and of some movements, and then you shift.
Yes, that's right.
How do you do it? What is needed in order that this shift can happen?
Yes. So this is the interesting thing. Like when you began your meditation and guiding everyone today, you said, so open your awareness into the space. So as I went through kind of traditional and classical practices, having studied with many different traditions from Vipassana to Zen to Ramana Maharshi to inquiry styles, sitting styles to Tibetan Dzogchen, Mahamudra. I started to have experiences kind of guided, and all of a sudden I would be in this awake, interconnected state. And then if I would follow the practices, it would take me like a long retreat to get there, then maybe a day to get there, then maybe 3 hours to get there, and doing it kind of. But then I started to feel, okay, let me, now that I'm here, let me see, how do I lose it? How do I get, just wait, just watch like a cat, and oh, look at that. Oh, I'm just, something arose and I'm whoosh, and something got contracted, and there's a part of me that's now judging the contraction, and now I'm
in it.
Smaller world, and I'm in a cloud, like a storm cloud, and if I try with any of those parts to go back, I can never get back. So the interesting thing is many of those who have tried to through best efforts and intention to shift out into this awakeness which is already here haven't been able to do it, and I wasn't able to do it if I use my will or my ego or my effort or a doer or my best intention or a wish or even sometimes a prayer or a letting go might get me out. But then as soon as I constituted a meditator or the one who was aware of what I let go into, I would come back. So
in a way, sorry to interrupt you, but for my understanding, in a way, is it that, let's say, all the forms or instruments you apply that bring you there, you can't use them to get out of it. You need to go to another level, in a way.
That's right. So this is the kind of funny, radical thing. When I realized, oh, if awakeness, as the sages, the wise women and men of all ages have said, the awakeness that you seek is already here. So I started to say, okay, well, let me really believe that. Let me really take that as a hypothesis. If that's true, then I don't have to get anywhere, or no part has to. So then I have to find that which is within the contracted part of me, and let that find the more spacious dimension. So I kind of reverse engineered a lot of the classical practices to feel, not to intellectually understand, but to kind of, like, I kept going, you know, trying to drop, open, play with, what's this, what's that, how's that work, and play with the kind of the almost like the way there's an anatomy of your body, there's kind of an anatomy of consciousness or an anatomy of awareness. So how does that work?
Yeah, and I mean, when we go there, we really need to be clear. We are absolutely in the invisible.
Yes.
We are in an area where our mind most of the time freaks out because it's not its territory.
That's right. Very good. Yeah.
And what I would also say in my case, what supports me is as deep as possible relaxing into whatever is there.
Yeah.
And that maybe is similar to what you described then kind of you love just everything what is there, you bring your compassion and your love to it, then immediately, even on a physical level and on an emotional level or on a judgment, I don't like this or that, I can then notice as if there would be a bigger me available, which can embrace all of that and includes it. It's
yes,
in a way.
So it's so interesting, you know, what you say, because I can feel you're describing what I'm describing, but it's the little, just for those who are listening, it's a matter of where you start and what level of relaxation and compassion you're working with. If you start to like try to be compassionate and try to relax, that's not it. You literally have to leave the attempt to relax or be compassionate to find that which is already relaxed and compassionate. So let's go back to that reverse engineering. So what I started to feel was, okay, so when I'm talking to somebody giving instructions or I'm talking to myself, I'm actually talking not to them, the doer. I actually have to radically say, hello, but you behind there, you're already awake.
You there.
Hello, you there, you within, you all around, you that's attached or identified within that part that's trying to do this and trying to understand it, can you just separate a little bit? And this move of separating or unhooking or dropping or letting go, that word that's been used so many times, surrender, let go, open, that it's an actual, to actually feel not only what it is, but what is doing it. So what is doing it is not you, but it's already it's the awake, what I call local awareness. So there's the spacious awareness, which is already always spacious and aware and is actually the ocean of awareness that everything's arising and made of. That field of awareness is obscured or hidden by an identification. And the identification is just that is not caused by local patterns of things. In other words, strong emotion could arise. Somebody could, you know, say something very mean. And if you're in spacious awareness, just the fact that something's arising that's strong doesn't mean anything's wrong. Or something inside of you could even be, someone could yell and you could, and, you know, protective rage could arise. That's okay. There's still no identity. You still can be awake and have emotion like a mother bear come in, like, whoa, wait a minute, stop. You know, it's this movement where awareness, local awareness, just innocently merges, identifies until there's the contraction is in this play of consciousness becomes a local point of view.
Yeah.
And, go ahead.
And just a very simple practical image I just received was, it's a bit similar. You could identify with the furniture in the room.
Yeah.
Which has a certain color, flavor, anger, sadness, I like it, I don't like it. Or you could really open yourself to the space in the room where all the furniture is. And this image is limited, but it's a bit metaphor.
Right. Yeah, beautiful. So again, I'm, you know, it's so interesting because, as you know, I'm trying to write another book now. And as soon as I do, I come to the same thing. I say, oh, that's beautiful, here's an image I can write, and then I write something like you just said. Then you just open up to the space in the room. Then I have to go back and say, well, who's you?
Yeah.
You know, so as I reverse everything, I'm coming back to this kind of, like, I'm using a word called local awareness, local awake awareness. But what it is an experience, and we'll do some little practices to show what it feels like. And just to say that I'm kind of describing it in a, as if it's a mechanical thing, But when I practice it, it's much more feminine. It's more, much more woo, woo. You know, it's, you know, so I'm only breaking it down, not because you must know this and go step by step in the way that I'm describing, but if you just feel the difference between trying to open to aware the space in the room, like just try to open the space in the room, and if you actually feel awareness move from thinking to hearing, and then awareness actually opens and is aware of the space and is aware of that the space is actually aware. So, and now you're aware from the space in the room, of the space in the room, and pervasively within yourself and interconnected with everything. Now, I'm, you know, I obviously did that very quickly, but
it works.
It works.
I mean, when I follow it, I can sense it. It works. It's fast. Yeah. It's immediate.
It works immediate. And it's kind of the, when it works, it's the principle of how it works. So you can do it many ways, and people have different through prayer or through yoga or through, but when you look at, when I ask anybody, oh, well, I do it this way, or I do it through this tradition, or I do it that, I say, okay, well, let's follow how, let's go back to the principle of what is actually happening when it happens. And the principles are kind of the same. It's almost like the principles of physics or the principles of biology or the principles of consciousness. They're, you know, if you use Ramana's, you know, inquiry, which starts with words, if it works, it goes, it's the movement right beyond words. So, you know, no matter which way you go. So it's this feeling of somehow the awareness that you are already the awakeness that you seek. You are the awake awareness, the true nature, whatever language, spirit, open-hearted awareness, loving presence. What other words do you have? Any other? So whatever that is, that you, whatever one word you like, that's good. That works for me. You're already that, and that is obscured or hidden, and that can move, that awareness can move and do without a doer. So rather than, so the usual two main direct path methods, and then we'll do some practices, but I'll just say this, I'm excited, I'm just very excited to talk about this.
So
the two main direct paths are the, most people do the resting method. Yeah. Resting method means chicken taza and Zen, just sitting, don't do anything, let go. The metaphor in Zen is muddy water, let stand, becomes clear. Yeah. So you just sit, you join a monastery, you go to a cave, is, you know, you're going a long retreat. And you do nothing, you just be, you don't think, you don't engage in, you know, like any of the major activities of media and relationship and, you know, work and, you know, you may do a little, you know, chopping wood or carrying water, but you're basically not engaged. You take away the major life activities and then you let your mind settle in order to reveal the awareness. The second method, which is more of my interest, can be done in the middle of the day, which is a kind of inquiry method. So Ramana Maharshi did inquiry method. I call it the looking method. And it can be done with thought. Like Ramana, the thorn removes the thorn. The koan method in Zen is asking a question, what is the sound of one hand clapping that makes you try to figure it out until your mind gives up? And this particular method is actually talking or communicating true nature, awareness through language to your language system back to your awareness and asking your awareness, would you please unhook that awareness from identification with thinking and have it know your body directly from within, know space from within, know the awareness itself, until the awareness knows itself by itself as itself. Hmm. And as soon as that is called realization, then that awareness knows itself as not only emptiness, but form, meaning energy, dynamic, and it knows itself as being interconnected with everything. It's not, but it's now the mover and the knower, rather than many people get caught in a trap of passivity. As if you just recognize awareness, now just be, and now see if you can be as long as you can. Now, as soon as you go do something, you lost it, so go back on another retreat, you know?
Yeah, and the danger with that is that you kind of, you think you need certain circumstances in order that it can happen. And that's already, yeah. I mean, and what I got when I was listening to you, Locke, was like you have different frequencies in a radio.
Yes.
And let's say in our most ordinary state, the volume is quite loud. There is a loud music and you hear everything. And there you kind of need to shift to a frequency, which is, it's not as loud as the thinking and as the activity, but it's always there. It's always like a, some background sound, or when you have an orchestra,
yes.
Maybe there is one instrument, it's just always there, and you kind of identify or sense it more, and you really attune to that, or when the other instruments get turn the volume down. So yeah, just this popped up.
Beautiful. Yeah, so yeah, just to take that metaphor, the so it's almost like the silent music channel, or the space between each note, the rest, and the tuner is local awareness. So this is the key, and I want to get people in Tibetan Buddhism, they say, child awareness returns to mother awareness, which is a lovely... So they don't explain it much. So I was like, okay, but that's what I'm talking about. And then I explain it to some teacher, and they go like, oh, yeah, that is what they mean. You know, like sometimes because of the cultural metaphors, we haven't gotten some of the gaps between the teachings, particularly how to really recognize directly, either get it or you don't. And what are the principles, and then what are the ways to remain, which we can talk about later. But why don't we play with this kind of a couple different little immediate shifts of using a glimpse. So the first one is really to show how close and how immediate that some people may be able to experience their true nature. Now, as I do these glimpses, just to say to everyone, I find that like if I do 12 glimpses and I say, how many people like this one? I get a third of the group. How many people like this one? I get a third of the group. This one, like, so don't worry if the first one doesn't work. It's just a doorway. It just isn't a match for your particular learning style, and it's not about you. It's about the method that doesn't match, yeah? So the premise of this one is that what is holding us back is this awareness that's identified with thinking, which is a sixth, it's in Buddhism is considered the sixth sense. So it's we know our five senses, but thinking is a sixth sense. All the senses appear to awareness in Buddhism. But in the West, we have this cultural belief, I think, therefore I am, which we've all heard. And even though it's, you know, may have moved on philosophically, there's a feeling that feels true. And when awareness identifies with this monitor or judge or thinker, that little mini-me, that little me or that seat of the self is trying to become someone and trying to become satisfied by getting things, almost as if it has a body, almost like there's a little entity in me that's moving my body, but it has this other craving that isn't about just
loading. It loves attention.
It loves attention, and it wants to become somebody, but it's made of thought, so it's kind of, and the word dukkha, suffering, is often translated as perpetual dissatisfaction. So it's not, so it's almost like not just that our bodies and personalities are perpetually dissatisfied. What I'm talking about is the secondary little self that is part of our personality, but it's actually the manager of the whole thing. When that relaxes, we'll still have our personality. We'll still have, you know, the food we like, and we'll still have to, you know, deal with everyday issues and stuff. But the suffering is reduced when we move from a small sense of self to this interconnected, open, relaxed, multidimensional being. And that is this far away. So this little mini-me is trying to solve the problem of identity all the time. What should I do? What do I need to get? What do I need to push away? What do they think of me? What's happening like that?
And it's not, it can keep many other parts very busy because we
right.
buy into it, and it kind of, it hires many parts of us.
That's right.
And the interesting thing,
it piggybacks on normal things that we actually do need to get. We are hungry. We do need to get something. We do need to get a job. We do need to, you know, whatever that is, it thinks, oh, but then when I get that, then everything will be okay. Or, oh my God, I'll never get it. It's worthless. I'm worthless. And it goes down to the kind of shame-based, and then it piggybacks on that. But it's really this secondary problem solver. So here's a simple little inquiry. If that problem solver were to relax, and you were just to let awareness check to see what's here, without looking to thought and without going to sleep to rest, just inquiring, understanding this inquiry, which is what's here now when there's no problem to solve. So just let the understanding, and then feel just now. What's here? What's this? Who's aware? What's aware? And there's no problem to solve.
Beautiful. I mean, what I perceive is there is immediately peace and expansion.
Yes. So there's it. So we're just pulling we're just unhooking from that habitual pattern, and we're just saying, okay, just relax. As soon as that relaxes, that's the amazing thing. I think this little short inquiry reveals, oh, the expansion and the peace, I didn't create that. I didn't try to create that. I didn't do like loving kindness meditation to create that. I feel loving and compassionate.
And I can also feel a relaxation in a part of my brain.
Yes, that's right. You feel the relaxation, the relief. Other people feel kind of a tenderness or a open-heartedness or sense of peace of mind or embodiment. Yeah. So this, and that little inquiry is like, I did like 12 different versions of that to get the right question to try to understand what is it that's holding it all together, to show people that if that habit now, and you can notice from that, that you can remain and talk without reforming the problem solver. So
I can shift as if the center of awareness shifts more downwards. It's not up here. It's more in the heart or even deeper. So the hole where I'm coming from and where I'm moving from is deeper than here.
Yes. Yeah. So this one is the most immediate, and in some ways the other ones, I'm literally having people drop down, open up, and go back in order to kind of untie the knots of the contracted, up, the head-centered little mini-me that's looking, feels like it's looking out of our eyes. And when it relaxes, you'll, as you said, you kind of naturally drop and open and include. So what, if that works, that can be the simplest form. And then once you're here, if that one worked, you start to familiarize yourself with, okay, so stay here and just start to welcome any parts that start to pull you, scare you back to the mind. So the one will say, yeah, but what about, you know, later on today when I have to go and do this? It'll just say that. And you just stay home and say, oh, sweetheart, that's you're concerned about that. Okay, I can hear you. You know, you just, because the feeling is that part will come up. Oh, I feel so good now. I'm feeling open and dropped and peaceful and relieved. And then one little part comes up through the back and says, yeah, but later on, you're going to have to talk to this person. You have to deal with this situation that's been real. And now from here, if you go up to talk to it or become it or debate it, you're now back in the cloud. So, but if you ignore it, oh, that's just a thought. So a lot of meditation system, oh, well, just, that's a negative thought. Just let it go. Oh, it'll arise and pass. It'll just sneak down unconsciously and it'll come back later.
So the feeling what I had was that I'm kind of awareness is still here in my heart area and it's just listening to it in a distance from down there. I get it. I can hear it or I can, yeah, I notice it, but I can stay there.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so that's the thing. It's almost like, so one of the meditative things that keeps people from stabilizing is you like the peace and the heart so much that you think, oh, those things, they'll just go away. I'm beyond them, or I can ignore them, or they're not real, or something like that. But it literally is you just, if they start to get stronger or emotion kind of grips your body, you get triggered, you still can open and embrace. So it's really more of a embracing heart, welcoming practice that from the natural compassion, rather than trying to be compassionate at first. When you're here, now you just don't ignore the, if they're just like, well, what about this? That's fine. But if they're like, oh my God, what time is it? You know, like I better get going. It's like, okay, you just grip me, but I'm with you. And you just kind of let that part that's now like fully through your body. It's not just up here. It's like, you just embrace, there's this feeling of embracing and loving, almost inhabiting, relaxing and being with, you know, kind of being with yourself or with your parts of yourself, your body, in a way that you're not fighting or you're not forming a manager. Oh, you should, you know, you were just calm, your spiritual ego or something, you know, what happened? You were just calm. Go back to where you were, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, upset about this. This is, you know,
yeah. So you become hard again and then it doesn't work. So you're right. Just then hard from another level.
So,
all right.
So it's learning. Yeah.
And you said you have some different glimpses. Maybe if you are open to that, we could try something.
Sure. Let's try another. Let's try a little, like a little one, just to show, to get a feel for this local awareness. We'll do one afterwards where we open up into the spaciousness. But this one, we're going to actually feel that awareness can drop. That you're not knowing from your head or from attention or from, but the field knows itself. So we're going to have local awareness, know your jaw from within, know your throat from within. So you're literally the known and the knowing are happening from the same place. You're not knowing like you would watch your breath. You like normally in a first part of meditation, you bring your attention to your breath at your belly. So you establish a focuser and a focused, and you just keep doing this. So what we're going to do here is we're going to say, okay, well, let's feel your jaw directly. Let's feel your breath from your breath, from your open-heartedness, from your just to show you that your awareness can move. It's what's moving. You've moved out of thought and you've moved out of a doer, and yet there's moving and doing and knowing that's happening, that's physical, but it's awareness-based. That's the theory, and now the practice. So the practice is, again, no need to think about how you're going to do it because you don't know how to do it, and the one who thinks they know how to do it can't do it. So just play with it and see if it works this time. It's great. And otherwise, you can try it again. It's they're in my book and in my audios. Some are on YouTube. So just feel the normal sense of the way you create a sense of self or a focuser that would want to focus on your breath at your belly. You almost start with that kind of traditional feeling of doing a meditation, one-pointed focus on your breath. But we're not as interested in the breath. We're interested in the feeling of where are you focusing from. And then just see whether awareness, which is identified or attached, can simply step back and notice that there's some space that's aware of the focuser. Just feel as if like a bubble of awareness has stepped back. And then feel as if that knowing awareness, like invisible awareness, can drop down, noticing your smile, and then be aware of your jaw directly from your jaw. And just feeling the aliveness, sensation, space, and awareness happening in the same place. And then feel as if that awareness is intentionally moving itself down to be aware of your throat, from within your throat. So again, just notice that you're not stretching awareness down, and you don't have to look up and check with thought or a thinker to know directly, feel the awareness, the aliveness, and the space. And then notice that this awareness, its intelligence and intentionality, awareness can drop below your neck, below your upper body, directly from within your upper body, and just feel this bubble of awareness moving down to your heart space, or sense of where your breath moving in your body. So you're feeling your breath from where you're breathing, you're feeling your heart space, from your heart space, just simply the knowing, what you're knowing, are happening from local awareness. And just notice what non-conceptual awareness that's embodied is like. Like to know your body from within. And not orient the thought to feel and know. So it's a non-conceptual knowing. It's an awareness-based knowing. The local focus. You might notice that the awareness is also spacious as well as local. So you can also open to the field of awareness that's above you and below you, all around you. So it's almost as if the field of awareness, knowing, and feeling non-locally, while it's also focused in one area. And just notice the effect of not orienting by thought and yet not being spaced out, not being lost in here, now, alive. Feel the openness, spaciousness, and maybe some will feel the interconnectedness with everything from here while feeling the local contact and interconnected, spacious, pervasive feeling. Of kind of an open-hearted. And notice how it's self-maintaining, or it's kind of, once you're kind of dropped in, it's doing it by itself. You don't have to try to be the ocean of awareness. It's arising as a wave, but it's also deeply connected to everything. Yeah, so from here, so even as we, you know, you can feel that you're the dropping, and even as you, you know, those who want to transition, move your body, or just notice you don't have to pop back up to a manager or a doer, that you can stay home, can move your body while you're aware of it from within, and just familiarize yourself with this new kind of multidimensional heart.
Lovely. So in my system, it registers right now as a sensation of fullness.
Yes.
Fullness, juicy, alive. And there was also then joy with it.
Just yes, that's right. Yeah. So that kind of naturally, it's almost like, I kind of only, especially in the beginning, only point to the specifics and don't try to lead people into that naturally, like as if it's like, don't want to lead the witness, you know, into something, or as if it's a guided visualization. But just do these, just let awareness return home and then see what's here. And then naturally the qualities of open-heartedness will show up. Maybe for some people, not right away. Sometimes it's just the freedom or the relief part of it. The first stages are often the absence of stress, the absence of worry, feeling of just being in your body, relief, release. But then the joy, the juiciness, the aliveness, the interconnectedness, joy, the love, just spontaneously are revealed to be in Tibetan Buddhism. There's a word called Kunta Zangpo, which means the natural condition is joyful qualities. So it's not just the neutrality, like awakening is not just waking up from suffering to become non-emotional, neutral, you know, like, I am now awake. I have no problems. Would you like some tea? All tea is the same. There's no... So you don't become a robot. You actually literally become fully human. You see, like, whoa, like the Dalai Lama's like, hey, laughing, joking, you're very joyful, free of the struggle and the constriction and the acting out and the acting in. You know, those impulses are kind of given to this more interconnected seeing other people as yourself. So there's a natural compassion and ethics that evolve. That's really important.
And then in a way, what just pops up for me is the more I shift my awareness to those areas, you just gave us the opportunity to go there, the more I can see it also in the other person and can sense it. And the more when awareness is there in me, I address the same in the other. Then,
yes,
as you said in the beginning, I talk to you.
That's right. Yes. That's the beauty, is that rather than trying to do that, or rather than imagining it, you know, that this is not, like, awareness dropping is not imagination. It's literally as real as, you know, reaching for a cup. You know, it's as real as being aware of seeing, now be aware of hearing. So you've just moved your attention or your awareness to hearing, now be aware of, but it's where you're aware from. It's another subtler dimension of human consciousness that's been overlooked because it's so subtle and we're kind of looking out from it. And then the stronger patterns of thought and feeling and emotion and culturally defined identity, and also just kind of initial needing of a human being to develop individuation and survival, makes a lot of the other physical, mental projects stronger initially, but even within, you know, cultures of strong survival, there's often, you know, poetry and art that has been revealed to be showing this has been here all along. And so in this time of, you know, there's so much development and intelligence and technological and research, medical, and why not spend the same amount of time and approach with ancient wisdom, modern science, and education to look at the same, like, well, how can we develop this compassionate consciousness? And we do it. And so I'm very much about getting colleagues together. That's much of the reason to come on your, this gathering of teachers, to say, let's all work on this together. Let's all find a way to share it and find out what's real and what's true and what works.
And as we kind of could really experience, it doesn't take a lot, and it doesn't take a lot of time as well.
That's right.
Immediate. It's fast. It's immediate. It's simple. Children could do that. It's
Yeah. I mean, this is the other thing, is there's a kind of a. There's a direct, so this kind of method is like a direct path, but it's direct realization, gradual unfolding. So rather than gradual awakening, which spends a lot of time with preliminary practices, this tradition, which a number of us contemporary people, and there are ancient traditions of direct realization, but many of them get held tightly by religious traditions in, you have to do all the preliminary practices. But it there's a there's some who have given it out, and it seems like it's it's for our contemporary times. It matches the style of living in the world.
Mm-hmm. And you just said in the midst of New York City.
So I'm doing these glimpse practices on the subway, and it's funny when I do them. Often I'll do them, and if I close my eyes, just like I'll do them, so I get into the field, and then I'll just close my eyes and smile and feel the resonance. And I look up, and people are either looking at me or they're closing their eyes a little bit. So it almost is like a secret little, like we can all relax here and you know, let's all do this together. But it's simple. It's simple. It's not easy because of the conditioning, but that's why you can learn the principles and kind of find which learning style works for you. You don't have to do it one. There's not one way to do it, but, and then to be curious about how to maintain, how to start adding movement and language and typing, and then notice when you lose it and learn to return and train to remain is the kind of little phrase. So you notice that you're caught, you remember to remember, you learn to return, and then you train to remain. And the training is really kind of a surfing. It's not like you're efforting, but you're feeling and you're adding, you're noticing what's trying to bring you back to the other. You're loving that, those parts of yourself. So it's just another dance.
Yeah, and my sense is, I don't know, maybe there is something like a natural... a natural field which is there to build up the capacity. So when I kind of I'm able to sustain it in a certain situations, life brings me challenges in yes. order to develop a bigger capacity. So it's just I noticed that in my life that then knock knock knock. Let's yeah. see, you bring a bit storm, a bit wind, and then a bit storm, and then thunderstorm, and let's see.
That's right. Yeah, it's almost like, okay, you remember that stuff you said, I'll deal with that later? Well, how about now? So it all comes up. But then you have greater capacity, and you start to realize, I mean, again, it's the feeling from this open-hearted awareness. There's really no problem. Like, all this stuff, you're not taking your spiritual temperature by like, oh, all this pain is arising, all this, you know, fear. It's like, okay, you know, I'm not doing that. That's just arising. That's the human animal. It's stored in your storehouse. It's coming up. Okay, welcome. You know, let's see how, and then it becomes very juicy. Everything's just like, whoa,
yeah.
like a roller coaster.
And when you then add curiosity and playfulness, it can be really, it's fun also. And yes. also this, when kind of, am I in the wave circling totally, then I come back, what was that?
That's right. Yeah. So it's really that, it's kind of, you know, just as we're talking about, it's a kind of a new model rather than, the model of renunciation, which so a lot of our traditions, you know, even from the East, start with great periods of renunciation, whether it's Buddhism or even Ramana Maharshi or, you know, kind of a time, such a long time apart and doing nothing and not eating and not being community. And for some, that's a way, but, you know, even Ramana came back from the being in the bottom of the temple and with the rats chewing his feet to going up to him by himself in a cave to being with his mother and others in a little tiny place, to coming down the hill, to being with a big community, to being with animals, to help cooking. By the end, he was cooking and helping with everything. Being part. So there's a sense that we can do this in the midst of our daily life, and that's kind of the culmination of it.
Yeah, and then in my experiences also, because I had also periods in my life where I was more isolated, and then I was full in life again, and it had a rhythm, and I didn't control it, or I didn't. It was almost it happens, and when there was this retreat time there, I could do everything, try to not be in a retreat. It wouldn't work. So, and then when this time was over, it was the opposite. So it, I guess we don't know when something is happening. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess it's that what awakening looks like is more being fully human, I guess, is rather than being detached. But there's some models, at least for me, that's my feeling of going from what I call waking up from the small sense of self, and then waking back into the body, and then waking out to compassionate activity.
Yeah, and there, I mean, we have this term, this really embodiment. So it's really becoming it, being it, and I love really this, where it's not an memory or an experience I had, and it's really fresh, real, now, here, in whatever is happening.
Embracing everything as it is. And you know, and the interesting thing that is an important kind of in between the, or the culmination of open-heartedness, is that embodiment is in some ways feeling our body from within. But now my new definition of embodiment is feeling connected to everybody. So embodiment literally means not just in my body, but connected to everything and everybody. That's the body, of the multidimensional body. Mm. And then you feel you can be the ocean. So you're embodied as the ocean, which is connected to everything, and you're embodied as the particular wave of the ocean that you are. You're not either just the ocean or just the wave. So there's this feeling of interconnection. Yeah.
But what is your experience? Because in mine was that I had a period, and it was really some years, where I would either be able to be with awareness in my little self, or I would kind of leave it, and I had it felt separate, and this was kind of really a few years.
Yes.
And I knew that's not it in a way. Yes. I tasted something, and no. I love to be there, but I knew that's not the end of the path. And
yes.
But it took me really some years to kind of really be able that awareness is expanding in the ocean and into the wave, into the experience of the mind, of the feelings, of the stories from the ground. It just, I don't know, I guess it's not just me that it took some while.
Yes, yeah, and there's a... You know, everyone's got their own journey. For me also, there was a time of discovering that first kind of awakening, waking up from, and then awakening to the awareness that's pure awareness. And then the period of getting it and losing it. You know, coming back, going, you know, being in or out, or pure awareness, or back to the small self. And then... So the key for me, the mixing, is this movement I spoke of a little in the beginning, and we can even do a little playing with it here, is that from the relationship between the pure awareness and the human consciousness is this awareness energy, or this dynamic field of, it's not just your awareness everywhere, it's the quantum field arising as particles and waves, which are made of the awareness. So all of a sudden, the unity consciousness, or the interconnected field, doesn't feel like pure awareness. It feels like awareness, aliveness, dynamic field that is arising as forms, that has awareness as its ground, but is dynamically alive. So that's more of like the feminine, that's more the Shakti. So the Shiva is the pure awareness, standing still, and then the Shakti comes in and doesn't lose Shiva. So the dance all of a sudden is like, whoa, rather than just coming back to the bliss in the body, which is just more Shakti, you know, from the, and not having the ground, the awareness comes back, and then there's kind of a ground of being, which feels like, woo, like you've landed in your heart, and there's a, like a stillness and a little dynamic bliss that feels like the joy. So that's, for me, that's what embodiment feels like, and that was the missing piece. You know, they talk about it, you know, Shakti Shiva. In Tibetan Buddhism, they talk about Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, Nirmanakaya is the third, well, three kayas. Dharmakaya is pure, Sambhogakaya is interconnected energy, and then Nirmanakaya is, you know, more everyday conventional reality with the other two. So there's these maps, and some of us, I think, got into this either human doer or no doer. It's kind of a non-dual myth or mistake, maybe, that becomes like a, there's nobody here. I mean, I have a lot of people, because I do individual sessions with some people, who would come, like, you know, 100 people or so have come and said, I realize I'm nobody. There's nobody here named John. There's never been anyone named John. Things are just happening. I go to the grocery store and things appear in my cart. And I'm like, but my partner is really upset because she says I'm gone. And I'm saying, your partner's right. You're gone. Come back. And they come back. They get caught in one of the traps, which is like halfway up the mountain. Not returning to the ground, going up to heaven and not having a heaven and earth. Yeah, so that's one of...
As you shared, people, the surrounding gives you feedback.
Yes.
And that's maybe the advantage from being in life, being surrounded by people. So...
They will tell you, and they're helping their community. That's what community is for, right?
All right. Wow. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. So shall we do one more?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think which one we should do. Yeah, let's do this. Since we're doing, some people are watching on video, but you can do this if you're just listening also. So many of the doorways I find helpful are related to the senses. So some people are more kinesthetic, visual, auditory. And so this one is a doorway of the eyes. So so what we're going to do is simply and you can continue looking at the screen, but I'll have you open, have your awareness look in the usual way it's looking, and then you can look above the screen and just have your awareness open your peripheral vision. I'll describe it and then we'll do it. I'll have you open your peripheral vision until it gets to the side, and then it can unhook from seeing and be aware of the awareness in which sound is coming, going, and then literally continue to have your awareness feel the awareness behind your back. And then you'll feel this openness of panoramic 360-degree awareness, and then you'll just be curious, am I aware of the spacious awareness, or what's it like if the awareness is aware of itself? And then the awareness is aware of awareness and energy back to thoughts, feelings, sensations as this continuous field of aliveness, awareness, interconnected with everyone, so that you feel a kind of a dancing ground of being, open-hearted. Yep. Some of you may have already done it, just if you're quick, but now we'll do it slow, a little slower. I'll just say that in some ways, these unhooking glimpses are done a little faster on purpose than what people may be used to as a guided meditation. Because a guided meditation is for your ego to take you into a meditation state. And these are literally like, okay, unhook awareness from thought, have it step back and drop. And it almost, if you take too long, unhook awareness, you get sidetracked into a hypnotic or meditative state. So I apologize if you feel I'm going too quickly, but you can also listen to some of the audios that I have on YouTube and other places online and on some audios. So I just feel as if just a sound is coming to your ears. An interesting thing is that the way that seeing actually works is not like your hand. Seeing isn't like your hand going out to see something. That the way it works physiologically is sound comes to your ears and light comes to your eyes. So just receive light. Receive sound. And then just let your eyes be soft and equal to other senses, so they have equal rights for all your senses. Feel like your eyes are one of the senses, but not dominant. And then just gently look above your screen or your phone, or if you're listening, just look a little bit straight ahead or up, and then begin to gently open your awareness to the sides without straining your eyes. So take your time. But notice that your eyes are not moving. You're not moving your eyes at all. You're actually just learning to move this local awareness, both left and right at the same time. And as you get part way, you can just breathe in the cool air and smile, looking at the space, and then feeling the awareness open to the sides. And when it gets to the sides, you just let awareness let go of seeing and become aware of the space at the side of your body in which sound is moving through. But just be aware of the space. And then just feel the awareness mingling with space as the awareness or the spacious awareness continues to be aware of itself behind you in this kind of panoramic 360-degree field of open awareness. And just feel what this open view is like, for the relief of contentless awareness, space, as far as you feel comfortable opening. And then just notice the awareness and space of mingling So just curiously inquire, am I aware of the spacious awareness? Or what's it like if the spacious awareness is aware of itself by itself without your help? Just let go of any effort to try to be aware and just notice that awareness is effortlessly aware. And then as this awareness is aware by itself, it's also curiously the ground of who you are. So as this awareness, notice that you can be aware from this awareness. Are you aware of the spacious awareness? What's it like when you're aware from the spacious awareness, as the spacious awareness, of the aliveness and energy that's arising as sounds, thoughts, feelings, made of awareness? And just feel that interconnected, dynamic, all-pervasive, dynamic field of awareness energy. That everything that arises is made of awareness, interconnected, not a separate thing, but a wave of the ocean of awareness that's spacious and pervasive, like a seamless interconnected field that's connected below your neck to your body, to your whole body, as a wave of awareness arising. Just check to see whether there needs to be a center of a self established in your body or whether this awareness is aware from everywhere. Curiously, where are you aware from? Where are you aware of the space from? Where are you aware of your knee from? Not answering it with thought, just feeling. All-pervasive, interconnected aliveness. And then as you breathe in, just let out a sigh. Let yourself feel that you're equally spacious and at home in your body, just ordinary, but dropped from hand to heart, mind. And just let the naturalness of this interconnected, open-hearted, dynamic reality be who you are. And just notice that you can hear from here, that you're equally, that awareness, just feel that awareness is equally aware inside and outside. There's kind of a seamless mind that's aware from everywhere, not from here. Yeah, and just stay home and now welcome any parts, thoughts, and just notice that when they arise, they're made of awareness. The relationship of kind of self-energy toward any parts. Any feelings, any emotions. So, yeah. So that's a little glimpse that kind of basically takes you through all the dimensions of awakened consciousness in a glimpse, so it doesn't mean that everyone will be able to stay there. But it's kind of fine-tuning or returning you home by untying these knots and allowing the natural awakeness to be revealed. And then you're just learning to move and speak without creating a doer, and embrace the triggers and emotional parts that come up as part of being a human, full human being.
Thank you so much, Locke, for sharing this richness you have, sharing with us with this exercises and your beautiful way to describing it. Thank you.
Yeah. So welcome. My pleasure. It's what I love doing. It's such a joy to just say, you know, to everyone, I just feel like I'm just saying, the water's great, come on in, you know. Check it out. It's not that hard. You can do it. You know, so I'm almost more like a coach, you know, than a, you know, and a peer, kind of sharing with people. Let's all do it together, because I believe it can be learned and taught and lived.
And applied, yeah, and just be it, be it, live it. Yep.
The natural compassionate activity flows from here, yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So it's time to say goodbye.
Okay.
Even though I could continue, and I just want to let our audience know that, yeah, they can find a lot of you, as you mentioned. We share your website link. It's a lot also shared on YouTube from you. And people, if they like just this exercises you shared here, they can also listen to it again and again, or watch it. So it's plenty of opportunities to practice it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It really has been a pleasure, and look forward to meeting you in person someday. I'm hoping to come to Germany next summer. But in the meantime, in 2 years, I'll be starting a year-long program with a colleague of mine. It'll be in the United States, in the East and West Coast, in Colorado, California, New York. And it will be with a colleague, Annalisa Adelberg, who is quite a dynamic, energetic healer, who brings a lot of the embodied feminine qualities. So the two of us together bring this quite remarkable way of training. She's been doing a school for 10 years with 100 people. So the two of us together are going to create a year-long program. And the idea is stabilizing awakening. For those who have had some initial awakening, we're going to try to find those who are ready and interested to stabilize and share with other people.
Lovely.
Whatever form they are doing that. So
wonderful. That'll be... Thank you for doing what you do. And I know you can't not do it.
It's just happening.
Again, thank you so much, and all the best to you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye now.
Bye.